These lessons as I had a lesson. I was taught to always go get his feelings. Fuck a critic. You gon' dig it or you ain't listen. I'm just about my business. Tunnel vision, we on a mission. Ain't no points of quitting. Bigger vision, no longer tripping. Kept my pain attention. Now it's flipping. I got that feeling.
Oh, yeah, headphones look too far. The buildings. I don't know if you ever gonna do the people like that. The buildings, yeah, the buildings. I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm someone that pay attention to, like, little things, right?
Uh-huh.
And, all right, I'm going to be real. Like, I could drive, but I don't drive. I have my license. Uh-huh. I could move a vehicle. You feel me? My only thing is, I don't even want to tell y'all what I'm bad with, so I'm going to leave it alone. It's a certain kind of parking, and I'm not going to give credit to what kind of parking it is. Nah, we're not even going to do that. We're not answering it. My bad.
Okay.
It might not even be that one though. It's the easier one.
Okay,
what people
say.
That's
the thing that catch me is parking still. I still don't got my license. I got my permit though.
Okay. So. Yo, let me tell you about driving a little bit because I love to drive. But where I am today in this age, this era, that if I weigh the pros and cons when it comes to like expenses,
mm-hmm.
car, you know, you got your car note, your insurance, you got the expenses that go with it. That I don't miss. But I love driving where you are that
free.
Oyster and free. So I've been driving ever since I was 18. Got my license at 18. I'm 54. And when I learned how to drive on a stick,
mm-hmm.
5-speed. That's what I love to
drive.
You're
a real driver.
Love to drive that. So someone had said to me, and I'm getting back to you, Ignacio. Someone had said to me that.
Yeah, I heard it.
That's the gov. Someone had related to me that driving, if you think about it, right?
I heard it. I absorbed
what?
It.
What
it was
you,
just.
What? What?
No,
my
it was
name.
Me.
What?
Yeah.
I never heard his name.
Oh my God.
You're good.
Okay.
You're good, yeah.
Professor Brown. That's what I call him in class. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, driving is nothing but judgment and timing. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's facts.
That's all it is
that's
judgment and timing.
Just like cooking.
Just like that. And then
a lot
me
of people
working
can't cook.
Me working in my profession in child welfare, that just because, I love to use analogies, just because you have your license, just because you're a parent, just because you have your license doesn't mean that you know how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you birthed a child doesn't know that
you're a parent or
you're
adult.
A parent because you know what it stems around? Skill and exposure and your environment.
Yeah.
I'm a better driver than I was when I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
So it's the same with being a parent.
Yeah.
So when people, you know, say things about, you know, being a parent and me working in child welfare, just because you got your license, that don't mean you know how to be a parent.
I'm not gonna
lie.
And
with that being said, just because y'all got mics in y'all crib, don't make you a podcaster, bro. Right?
That's a fact.
Welcome back, peace YouTube. Welcome back to the Don Court and D Week, the hippie show starring Spliff and Choom Choom. And today, this is a special episode. Y'all heard her talking, you know what I'm saying?
She knows him.
That's a fact, man. Hello. That's a fact, man. So we here. This is episode 295 of the Don Court and D Week.
296.
296. Thank you, brother.
Got you.
And we are your hosts.
Spliff, we here. Hang.
And the highest hippie in the room, D-Reek and Hippie, of course. And I got a special guest with me. This is real near and dear to me. You know what I'm saying? This was one of my favorite professors while I was in college. And I didn't think that I was ever going to go to college because I wasn't a school person, you know what I'm saying, when I was younger. But when I got older and I didn't, like, I was jobless for like 3 years. You heard my story.
I know your story.
And I used to walk up and down Graham all the time. And I was like, Boricua College. I was like, let me just see what I could do with this opportunity. It keep calling me. And I was able to meet a couple genuine people. You know what I'm saying? You, Jared, Negron. He was very genuine to me. Like, we even went to a Mets game together. Like, things of that nature. Even Audia, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh,
shout out to
Audia.
Boricua College, man.
Yes.
Everybody up there, because it's literally what it is. It's a community college, and it makes you feel like you're a part of that community.
So,
I love that shit.
You know,
but we got Professor Nicole Brown here, everybody.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I want to say, you know, that, you know, being a professor, is not my, you know, my day job in a sense. And what I want to say is that, you know, I'm gonna call you Ig for right now, because I'm not gonna use your government name, and I'm not gonna give out your grade that you got. Yeah, but I want to say that, you know, one of my sayings that I had said to you before we started, that education is not a race. Mm-hmm. You know, once you start and you finish, you're a winner. And what it is in that the society that we live in is that we're so into constructs of when you need to be this by. So I went to school right out of high school. I graduated in 87. And I remember taking a test that said something about, you know, what you should study, right? Mm-hmm. And it was off the charts. It was like, we don't know what the hell you want to be, right? Mm-hmm. And I got involved with life, you know, got involved with, you know, becoming a mother, getting married, especially a mother with a child that has autism. Mm-hmm. And when I decided to go back to school, it was because I wanted that paper to maneuver what I needed to advocate. Mm-hmm. So when it came to you, all my students, as you know, were always night students. They were returning students. And one of the things that I advocate or make known is, hey, it's okay that you didn't do what society wanted you to do. Yeah. The fact that you're here, you can do it now.
Yeah, because when you met me, I was 25?
Really?
I was like 20.
How long? Was that 10 years? Well, I started in August. I started in August in 2010, and I was done spring of 2020, which was the COVID stage.
I graduated 18.
Okay.
2018. So okay. I was there probably 2014.
Okay.
So okay. I was like 26. Like so what you, that goes to what you're saying. It doesn't, time is not a construct that you
not at all
should be living on. Cause I just told you before we started, I'm thinking about, I'm about to be 35 now in August. And now I'm thinking about, I might go get my master's now.
Right.
In another discipline so I could have different varieties. Right. But as you kicked it to me, it's a different time. And that paper isn't as important as we may deem it.
Right.
Whatever you want to do.
Right. Because there is...
there's no degree for what we're doing right here.
I can't think his name. I believe it's one of the Rockefellers. And he said... You know, it is one of the Rockefellers. Don't get me, you know, to line as in John F. Rockefeller or whomever. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the Rockefellers, and he had said, which Rockefeller had designed the curriculum for education, and said that we don't need to bear thinkers. We need to bear doers. We mm-hmm. need to bear people that will do our job. So when we were going to school, and again, it's different now, and I so applaud and I humble to that millennium generation. I'm mm-hmm. that Gen X. Excuse me, I'm that Gen X generation. These were the things you were going to do. I'm going to be a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher. Having your own business, never even thought
never
of it.
Never was a plan.
Right. Get you a good job, work 40 years, get you that pension, and you can retire.
And then slide out, yeah.
And now that I'm seeing that, because of COVID, which was enlightening to me, that, oh shit, my people are doing what we weren't trained to do. As I might be a living ancestor, and I'll use Ig to say, yeah, go for it, and push him, yeah. because we didn't have that behind us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I had said to him before you came in, when it comes to degrees, because of COVID, you know, our degree, I'm human services. Mm-hmm. I'm actually dealing with people, psychology, human services, sociology, social work. It doesn't matter. Whenever you're dealing with persons, it's really true with that case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. Me and you could be from the same environment, but something makes us different.
Yeah.
So he has to be able to apply that theory, whether it be... I'm going to talk about psychology, whether it be Sigmund Freud, or whether it be you know, John Locke, or if you're talking about education, whether it be Maria Montessori or Piaget, to be able to say, let me apply this theory. Mm-hmm. AI could never, it will never take that over to a certain extent. You know, education is in a box. Mm-hmm. General education is in a box. These are the things that you know, a child should learn at this particular age, these are their milestones. If they don't learn it as quickly, they're outside of the box, right? Yeah. So that makes them special education. Mm. If they obtain it also in a fast period, but yet they have behavioral issues like, okay, I'm done, like, hurry up, what's going on? That's still special education.
Yeah.
Because they're not in that
you
box.
Rush the process and you're not even like patient. Like, there's no things to that, yeah.
Right. So what I was saying to him before you came in was that families are not, they don't want to see special education because they thinking my son, they thinking low cognition, they thinking in the basement, no windows. So what they call students like Ignacio or those that have Asperger's syndrome that are really smart, you know, and they are gifted and talented, but they're still outside of the general construct of general education, you know, so with him, as he's talking about, he's going back to school to get his master's. Whenever you're dealing with people, he will always, always have some type of relationship of some type of job. Because AI is not going to be able to, danger.
But
danger,
I think the thing with AI is dangerous on who holds it, like who's controlling it. Yes. That's where it gets spooky with people. Because the AI thing is doing whatever machines do and programs and whatever do. Like, you're going to just do whatever task is in front of you. But now if you have someone that understands how to manipulate this system with the AI thing, it could go crazy. You could duplicate 4 or 5 movies. You could take 4 or 5 people patterns and make it a new pattern.
Yeah.
It's the voice thing with people using the voices for like scam things.
Yeah, and that's why we got the strike in Hollywood going on right now.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that. So double back on that. I have a friend who's also a spiritual person, and he showed me something. You know, we have our conspiracy theories and so forth or like that. And you know, I'm a firm believer that Tupac is still alive. His aunt, Afeena Shakur, also known as Joanna Chesmart in Cuba, but that's a whole nother.
Yeah, it's a whole
podcast.
Other story.
That's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other situation.
But now, he said to me, he sent me something today. And he sent me something today where he said, Tupac is still alive? Because he sent me a video of Tupac and Eminem. I said, oh no, AI is taking what we're doing right now, the digital voice, and categorizing it, simplifying it by alphabet and vowels and so forth, and putting it together, and then putting a beat over it.
And
I said, they're doing it. And this is why, going back to the actors and actresses
and writers,
of having their
and the writers,
right? Because they're wanting to say not a major role, but let's say you were like in the background, like, you know, not a Denzel Washington, because nobody could replace him. But let's say you were a side person,
like and the cop, like, in the scene.
Right.
Or like that.
We're gonna AI you and CG your face
and don't pay you.
And that's why they're on strike right now.
And
cover up spots.
In the writer's room, where it would be like 20 writers bouncing ideas around each other. They want to put like 2 computers and like 1 person.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so you taking money from people, you killing people's jobs, and we get paid for each word we write.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, that money ain't right now.
Right.
Isn't right now. So it's like, we going on strike on all fronts right now. Cause you just bought it to a explosion with that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, all right, so now we're going to do that. Cause as she explained to me, is somewhat of an AI version since COVID with school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
schools now.
Yeah.
Where if you don't got the teacher don't got the full credentials, you could go to this community or this network, which is
get information
in AI.
And spit it out.
So
boom,
like,
boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. So that's scary. Cause even like you saying, like, COVID had the good stuff where you saw, oh shit. Like for me, it was, we was in a studio. We was in our first studio and we was lucky. Our engineer, he did everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
He did the audio, he did the video, he did everything. But luckily, I was standing over his shoulder every time.
Right.
So when COVID hit, we had to leave the studio.
Right, right.
We like, damn, what we a new podcast. What we gonna do, stop? Everybody gonna leave us, you know what I'm saying?
It's just going forever.
So we started recording from the house. And I started learning everything.
And then, you know, and being blessed to have my son, who is 21 as of April, and he has autism.
Shout out to the April babies.
He's an Aries. And
Taurus gang.
You say he has autism?
Yeah, he has autism and he's low functioning. Mm-hmm. And I come from a corporate background, so when he was diagnosed, he has what is called that invisible disability. So if you have a child in the hospital and they have a deformity, you know, they're going to automatically give you the services because they see it. Mm. So my son was diagnosed with autism because he wasn't meeting his milestones with coming to language, right? Mm, okay. So I'm working in a structure, 9 to 5, HRIS, payroll, making 6 figures, very comfortable. And then now I have this child that I have to accommodate for. So it was, okay, so my rendition of autism was the movie Rain Man. You know, like okay, yeah. With Dustin Hoffman, I'm like, okay, he's not old enough to go to Atlantic City, but Tom we'll put Cruise that in, right. We'll put that. We're gonna make some money later, but in the meantime, I needed to learn what he was. So, all of the services were provided for him, and what I'm getting into, you know, what I'm leading up to of having that invisible disability of, you know, looking outside of the box, and I'm like, okay, I don't know anything about autism except the movie. What do I need to learn? Mm. So I literally, and I just told somebody this the other day. I was like, I got a book.
So was it physical that you saw physical stuff first?
No, because he met his milestones. So he was going to turn 2 in April 2002. It was December. He wasn't meeting his milestone. Mentally? So he was, no, he was speaking, but it was like
not a deaf person.
Oh.
Okay,
and,
right. It wasn't hitting all the way
exactly.
straight.
Exactly, and yeah. I'm like, does he have fluid in his ear? So I took him to an audiologist, and the audiologist, because I never had behavioral issues with him or anything like that, mm-hmm. and so an audiologist was like, you should have him evaluated. And when I got this golden child, not knowing that he was going to be golden, and it was like, my thing was, okay, who's on first, who's on second? Not wanting to mourn the child that I wasn't going to have. Mm-hmm. Or that I was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, okay, we need to do this, that, and the third. So.
To try to make it seem like regular.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when
but he's still regular though.
He is.
That's and the thing. And a lot of people want to make shit different, but.
He fine as hell. He's 6'5". He got dreads down here, and he's actually doing a, he models, and he's actually doing a catwalk come next week.
That's dope.
Yeah, down at for Fashion Week. So it's just doing dope. Things differently. But I wanted to get back to that when he was diagnosed, bringing in the corporate, it was, okay, who's on first, who's on second? My son is the corporation. Mm-hmm. That's the corporation. We're satellite offices. Mm. If the offices, the satellite, if the corporation don't work, we don't work. So no. We were adamant about who's on first, who's on second, having family meetings or whatever. So my son is in love with coated paper clips and shit. Mm. And he running back and forth and flapping his fingers and stuff. And we watching him while we sitting here at the table. Okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And he has saved me in so many ways. And that my whole family, his father, my husband, his sister, and his younger sister, which I call the younger oldest sister, because mm-hmm. she was born to him being that way.
So she,
all they know is him. They all work professionally yeah. behind him. So working with people with special needs where AI cannot.
Yeah.
AI's not going to understand this.
That's a fact.
So AI is not going to understand that.
Yeah, that's
not
fine.
No algorithm.
Exactly. Oh, I love that. That's not part of the algorithm.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's something that's it's spontaneous. It's so like you're not going to know what's going to happen at any given moment
right.
of any given time.
Unchanneled
so if you
energy.
Have, yeah. Right. So if you have like if we 30 years in the future right now, you know what I mean? And they have robots now.
Right.
That's going to be oh, you a home health aide for a special needs child. Like what?
Yeah.
What are you really gonna right. how are you really gonna comprehend what's going on there? You know what I'm saying?
And so that's
like,
why I have said
because humans can't deal with it.
Ooh, let me tell you.
I've got because I was gonna ask you, that was your second child?
He is my middle child. So my oldest child is from a previous relationship.
Yeah.
And she, if God forbid anything happened to us, she knows she can hit the ground running, yeah, right? When it comes to paperwork and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. My youngest daughter, and when I used to, I don't know if I did it with you.
The little big sis.
Yeah, she's a younger, older sister. She protects him so, they're actually 2 years and 2 weeks apart. And at the end of the school. Yes, yeah, at the end of the school year.
You can scoot over a little
at the end of the school year, I used to bring my daughter, the younger one, to school to give her give her testimony, as in, what is it like to be the sister of a child? And she couldn't understand why we would go to the park and they would laugh and whatever. Children are just inquisitive.
Yeah.
But what really did it was the adults. I would be on the subway. And I you know me, I observe, right? Put my son over there. We get on the subway. Watch for the closing doors, please. He sit over there and I'm over here. And I will watch people. He do his thing. Whatever. He doesn't have behavior issues. He just does things.
A sporadic moment.
Right.
And
I will watch adults looking.
Disgust on their face. Confusion.
Is that? Laughing and giggling.
Yeah.
And I would, and when it would, and I would lean in. You laughing. Whose child was like, whose child is that? Why is he acting like weird? Knowing I'm the parent. And then I would hit him with a BAM! Here's an autism card, you dumb fuck. He has autism and you need to educate yourself with not even
judging that.
Judging, right?
Because we see that. So embarrassed. Yeah. You see that and then you think it's because some people, all right, boom. I'm going to say it, you know what I mean? Because I'm him. Some people weaponize the shit.
Yes.
Some homeless people or
yes.
Something things of this nature or act like they have a mental disability, you know? And I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not saying nothing bad. I'm just saying you can't do that shit.
Right.
But that'll be the what people see and know about it. Like you said, what you knew about it was a movie. That was my reference to that.
Right.
Certain other people, their reference to that movement and sound is a homeless person.
Yes!
Asking you for money and
on
doing
platform.
This.
Yeah.
And
yes!
And then you see them around the corner walking into their car. Like, I just got money off this person.
Excuse me.
So some people weaponize it. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Like you saying, that's a test for you. Like, I'm testing everybody I'm around because this is my thing that I have to protect. This is the human that I have to protect. So I got to see how people going to react to him when I'm not there.
Right. You know, and
now 21.
The bittersweet part of it is that my son Isaiah has no fucks to give. He run up and down playing his paper clips. He can care less about what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as the satellite offices, make sure that the corporation is good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a blessing because we all have sustainable, guaranteed jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm working for that platform of people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the degree comes in and where AI, there's no algorithm for, you know, outbursts and whatever. So, yeah, you on the right track.
And when you see that, like what you just said, his freedom... Basically, you know what I'm saying? How free he is with, no, I don't care about the judgment. Because that's not something that he's conscious of. Like, we are because me, I just went to my first therapy session yesterday. And she said, I'm not going to give the whole thing because that's not what I want to do. I want to take this in for me. I'm trying to self-care myself. But she asked me. She don't even know me. It's the first session. She said, you care about what people think. And I started crying because it's true. You know what I'm saying? I care about what people think, my friends, my family, if I'm dealing with the right girl and somebody going to say something or if I'm doing the right thing and somebody going.
But where does that come from?
So I was going to ask you.
Okay.
Because you're a people watcher and you notice.
I'm in the cut.
Yeah, yeah. You observe, like you said. So when you observe that from that person, which is your child, it just so happens to be your child. Does that give you something in your brain where like, damn, I wish all of us as humanity could just be as free as that? You know, because like what we're saying, we all have a worry about something. Like, oh, shit.
So on that note. Will that be eradicated? No, it won't be because the world that we live in and the world itself is based on customs,
material,
culture, you know, and things like that. So the things that we learn, is based on our upbringing. Your first circle of, there's like so many circles of awareness if you take early childhood education. Your first circle of awareness are the people that you trust, which are your parents mm-hmm. or your immediate circle. They put the root, the foundation, yeah. right? And then you start to go out. If you think about it, look at all the elementary schools. You ever notice the elementary schools are only like one or two blocks away? It's thousands of elementary schools. Yeah. And I live in 11238. It's about 50 in 11238.
My building was this right here. This right. Is my building and my elementary school is right here.
Right, because they want you to go so far and come back.
Yeah.
Right, and that's safety and some other stuff. And then true. Eventually you start to express your you start to test.
Middle school, you could try.
Right. So we can't blame that because, you know, in different countries, I don't even know. I'm only dealing with United States, you know, when I travel. You know, we don't know how they look at children with autism and
mental disabilities. Anywhere.
You know, any other country.
Like that, yeah.
Right. So I can control what's here and bring awareness here. So that's what I do. I bring awareness. That's all I can do. Yeah. Whether you accept it, yeah. that's on you.
Correct.
And the way that going back to COVID, there's so much that happened with COVID. The new thing... have you heard of, you'll hear the acronyms D as in dog, E as in Edward, I as in ice cream, which is DEI, mm-hmm. diversity, equity, and inclusion. You heard of that?
I haven't heard of that yet.
Oh, it's a big thing now. And what it is that while we were sitting at home for COVID, you had those big psychologists and psychiatrists writing stuff, observing. Make no mistake, they were taking in stuff. While we were sitting,
data,
especially when we were shut down from March to June, yeah, they were taking really notes, and they realized for the benefit of the diversity, equity, and inclusion is that we need to encompass everything. So, mental illness, people with disabilities. Again, as I had stated, I'm clinically diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and I'm proud. Mm-hmm. You know, and any other person that has that invisible disability. It's in the forefront. It's in the forefront. It's okay to, you know, your job got to accommodate. It's okay. Like, yeah. you need to put it out there, you know. And you got hidden agendas, just like you had affirmative action where they had to hire so many black people or people of color. Now they got to hire so many people with
certain disabilities.
Right, disabilities.
Certain disabilities.
Because you still.
Yeah, that too. That's all part of it. Yes.
Education
yes,
shit.
Yes, that's like, all part of it.
LGBTQ.
Yeah. That's all part of it too.
You know, certain jobs and certain apartments, only gay people are getting.
Yeah. Working in a child welfare perspective, the shit that went down from, and I'm speaking from New York because we're pedestrian friendly, we can walk. We had so many cases of call-in, SCR cases, domestic violence.
Yeah.
That shit is to the max.
Parents didn't even know how to be a parent because they never parented. Mm-hmm. They send their kids to especially school at 7:30 and they don't pick them up until 6 o'clock.
Especially you have a newborn.
No, and sometimes they don't pick them up at 6 o'clock. Sometimes they have someone else pick them up and they get home at 8 or 7. I ain't gonna lie. I was watching something the other day how they was like, parents are talk crazy like they're out here teaching and taking care of their kids and like, bro, you go to work at like 5, 6, 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh. Your kids is at school from what 8 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then mind you, you still at work while your kid is leaving school yeah. or in an after school program.
It's good.
So
I wanted like his.
I forgot homie was on some
well, just so it'll catch me. You can catch me? Okay.
So, homie was on some like, bro, you only like take care of your kids while you're cooking.
Yes.
Like you talk to your kids while you cook and then after y'all eat, it's a small moment of time and then yeah. everyone go to sleep and start the whole shit again.
The whole day over. Yeah.
So you technically wake your child up in the morning. Yo, get up. Make sure you ain't late for school. That's like one thing you say and then. Is nothing. They right. raise themselves, and right. then you come home and you feed them.
Right.
So what you
and
think,
y'all have a moment.
So what you think about they trying to? I guess is in America. Period. I guess they trying to lower the work week.
Ooh. So let me tell you something.
So you can spend more time at home.
So let me tell you something.
I think they trying to say 37 hours. I think 32 hours. Yeah, 32 hours, 40 hours will be OT, and beyond that will be OT. And they basically saying that you could get, I think you're going to work 4 days out the week.
So,
it's going
during the era where during the era where Roosevelt was president, that's the heavyset one with the glasses mm-hmm. and the yeah. mustache, because mm-hmm. it was two of them. So the one that was heavyset with the mustache, he put in a lot of, he implemented labor laws. Mm-hmm. He implemented Social Security, because my grandmother, remember, she didn't even have a number, you know, at the time when I was young. So Social Security, department, labor laws, and what it was that we work 8 hours, okay? And we work 8 hours. We're literally working seven, but we got the eight, the extra hour for the lunch.
Mm-hmm.
In our field, working in human services, they only pay us 35-hour work week. Mm. I want to tell you that I'm old enough to remember 25 years ago minimum, that they had discussed and they were talking about changing the work week, because there were other companies, I can't remember the name of them, but one of the Kakalakis, north of South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Probably south.
Right. They have several companies that only allow them to work 10-hour days
yeah.
and 4 days a week.
Yeah.
So they don't work Fridays. And we were like, oh, that will work for us. What I learned when I travel, because when I travel, I'm like, take me to your leader. I don't want to go to the Hilton. I don't want to go to a hotel.
I need to touch the soil.
Yeah, take me to your leader, okay? And I always take into education, the government, the judicial system, yeah. and education. And Europe is one, and even better, like the Greenland, Scandinavian area, yeah. era. They got the lowest rates of any kind of stress or anything, because they only yeah. work like...
Yeah.
3 days a week.
Yeah.
It's like even, working from home. They've been doing before COVID.
Yeah, and even like she's saying, if you got on site job and stuff, you're only working as much hours as she's saying. Right. And on your lunch break, you get to go home and be with your family.
Fiesta, they call it.
Yeah, you get to eat with your family. Everything is a mental thing, bro. Like, yeah. you gotta have this.
If you this got your muscle, shit moving right, everything else will move right.
Pure, because. Then you just stressing over everything. Like right now, like I just saw something on, you know, everything is social media right now. So I'm scrolling down TikTok and this white lady, she's like, yo, I don't get it. She's like, I got two kids and I don't see how they even
mentally stable.
I didn't see that one.
She said,
that's the lady in the car, and yeah, she was talking about how... All right, go ahead.
I don't even know how these kids these days are even mentally stable.
Able to survive.
She said, I heard about swimming to drown and swim, but these kids are drowning. So she goes, in my day, I used to get $10 an hour. That was my highest pay. She was like, that wasn't even minimum wage. That was my highest pay, me graduating in the job.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I was able to live on my own. Uh-huh. I was able to leave home, mm-hmm. have a home, have kids, and have a family. These kids, for a studio apartment, you got to pay $2,000.
Yeah. And that's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I put in the comments, I said, and I bet you, she's not even from New York, and she's talking like this.
Yeah.
Now, imagine living in New York. I've been trying to find... It's so mentally frustrating that people break down mentally. Like, bro, I can't... I don't want to live at home with my mom.
To get a partner.
I don't want to live at a female crib because she got the power to
and
kick
you get
me
the
out
boot.
Whenever she wants to, because it's her crib, right?
Get the boot.
I damn sure, especially if you a single male, you got to understand the system in New York. If you a single
male
bunk
up
and you
with
go
your
into
friends.
The shelter system...
You're in the bottom of the barrel.
And
family, woman with a family, single mother, single woman, gays, married man, single man with kids.
Single man with kids.
And now
you gotta have that kid.
You'll be in that shelter for 5 years.
And you want to talk about, you know, going into the shelter as a single man, and that you were here. You're now here. Because the immigrants that are coming in
are over you
now.
Facts.
Especially the ones that they brought in from Ukraine and everything. It's like, yo, I'm gonna give y'all. I'm gonna give y'all shelter. I'm gonna give y'all shelter and a business so y'all can start.
Yeah, and tax breaks and a social security number.
And you sending the billions for the war over there. So we over here in a recession because you sending money over.
I'm not.
So,
my bad. Go ahead.
No, everything is not about money, but that shit can really break you down.
So I gotta always tie it back to COVID because COVID was always an eye opener.
It was a different situation.
And that shit was the reset button. I definitely applaud my ancestors. Applaud my ancestors that I grew up the way that I grew up. It was never really about money. It was about family, and it was about the neighborhood and to raise a village. So right now, my daughter, she works in the field. You know, like I had said, and you know, she got to pay her dues. Being, you know, as a Marine, you know, being in the field. But because, you know, my husband, you know, he does some stuff, some side jobs or whatever. Like it's not about, we used to laugh at, oh, the Jamaicans, them got tree jobs. Yeah, but they were doing that hustle there, that hustle there, that hustle there to make that.
Building here and building over there.
Right.
It's different.
So my husband is doing that, which allows my grandbaby, who's two, as of June.
Fire.
To be at what we call Camp Granthony. She's never seen a daycare. Not because we oppose daycare, but you know how much that stuff costs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really taking a village, and what we need to do, you know, what we are doing is that we're having these conversations, we're having these platforms, we're advocating and eye-opening to maybe we could say, I didn't think of it that way. And I have my circle, you have your circle, you know, Ig has his circle, to say, okay, we can raise that family. It takes that village.
Yeah.
Because it's very expensive.
Yeah.
To, you know, I don't think it personally, for me, I don't think it makes sense. New York, if you travel, I beg people to travel.
Yeah, man.
Travel, I don't want you to travel. Go outside of your comfort zone and travel. New York is still the state that individuals are falling off the boat. Don't speak the language.
Oh, yeah, and getting the bag.
And they're getting everything. Why is it since the 70s? I'm a 70s guardian angel era, you know, where crack, we spray paint on the, you know, pop locking and shit on the damn train. Where New York was not the place, but you still had people visiting. Yeah. And so you got people living here that, you know, I don't like this and the trash or whatever. But go outside and come back and you look and you had to say, why these people still come here? Because this will always be an enriched culture. So take advantage of it. I can't see why.
People come here to go to 42nd Street and look at shiny floors with a lot of lights over their head.
This is how This is
it's
how
facts.
Because
people go to 42nd Street to look at sparkly floors.
Yes!
But that's that New York. I see New York.
Even our floors shine.
Sidewalks do shine.
Yeah,
New
our
York
sidewalks
is,
shine.
New York is the metaphor of USA.
Yes.
Of America.
On the east side. And LA is the west side. Right.
What is the light bill for 40
deuce? What you just said, you got all the coaches here and everything like that. So it's a place where you always gonna have an opportunity.
Yeah.
But if you from here,
it's not an opportunity.
You don't see it.
And you don't
know. No, but you can see other people have it.
And then
but still you don't take
advantage. Jewish, Chinese, all types of shit.
Still you, as a native New Yorker, won't take advantage of those. No,
because
you won't take advantage of those opportunities.
If I may, you're so angry and you're so bitter and this, that, and the third that you don't take advantage of it. I'm not, I don't lay on the fence when it comes to, you know, Trump, you know, or Biden or Democrat or whatever. You know, my grandmother had a home. She used to rent rooms out. Remember that back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
You rent rooms out, you know, to family, whatever. You know, I'm from the era, again, Blue Magic. Mm-hmm. I'm a 70s baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she used to come out outside. You know, Brownstone is only about so wide. And she'd come outside and she would sweep in front of her house. And she would sweep the gutter. And said, you too can have that same neighborhood. Don't allow gentrification to say that your value is worth what they say.
Yeah.
So going back to being bitter, I got friends, you know, colleagues, I go visit them in the projects and they throwing trash. Ooh, I can't stand the litter bug.
That's why
they throwing shit out the window, you know, and
still,
this ain't my place. I don't give a fuck. It is your place. This is your home. You live here. So
yeah,
make
it's
it
the community.
Right. Make it. And we lost that.
Yo, I remember when I I didn't even have to knock on her door, my next door neighbor. I go in the crib, be like, yo, I need this, such and such. You know what I'm saying? Because, like you saying, it was a community. It was more like
unity.
Yeah, you take care of your shit. Even though that's why it's so easy for them to do what you asked him about East New York. Is it gentrified yet?
Oh, because
every hood, every neighborhood in New York is getting gentrified because of that fact right there.
Yeah.
The people that have been living there for decades and decades, you living here for 20 plus years and you still saying, this is not mine. I don't care about this.
Right.
But then when you outside of your neighborhood, you banging your neighborhood.
Yes, yes. And don't get it twisted. Because
so you would rather represent your neighborhood in a negative way than say, oh shit.
To them, it's not negative, though.
You leaving at 5 in the morning to be to work, right? And you're like, you on the 6th floor, right? And you get on the elevator, you're like, it's piss on the elevator.
Yeah,
let me just leave and leave it alone, right? Instead of being like, yo, let me wipe it down, right? There's this dude on TikTok.
Yeah.
He cleaned his projects.
And I love it.
He saw a hole in the window. He put a garbage can on it. He swiped it. He said, yo, kids be playing in the hallway all day. And we just gonna ignore it and walk past broken glass in the hallway. Or piss in the elevator. Or guts from a Dutch on the stage.
He said, I'm going to leave that shit right there till tomorrow, but we'll be back.
But we're going to clean it. So come on, we just got to take care of each other. Yeah.
I grew up in the projects, and my mother used to, and again, you know, taking in all the stuff. And, you know, as a little kid, you don't know much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as they say, I didn't know I was poor until I got grown.
Somebody said, yo, you
pissing mattresses and stuff. And I grew up in the projects, and my mother used to put, she used to go to the store, you know, in her shopping and hang those trees, the incense ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it came
from
in
the car.
The air fresheners.
From the car.
She used to hang it in the elevator. And she'd cut this motherfucker done pissing the goddamn mother, you know.
Yeah.
And she would just hang it up. And that, because that's your home.
Yeah.
So regardless if, oh, this ain't my shit and the landlord don't want to do anything, that's still your home. So make it comfortable, make the best of it.
Yeah.
You know,
because if you that one person, right?
Yeah.
You that one person that's cleaning your, just your building, right? Just the front of your building, right?
You doing that every day,
3-4 years in a row, right? And then the local politician pops up in your neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they ask people questions in there so they could get a vote, whatever. Yo, Carlos? He be cleaning the crib, he be cleaning the spot all the time. They gonna be like, yo, housing gonna be like, yo, you wanna be the landlord to this spot? Right? So now you got just one building, right?
Maybe.
Right? No, maybe. Hell no. That's a fact, bro.
I give you one even better. Let me chime in. Let me give you one even better with my grandmother. Or my mother. My grandmother. The fact that you cleaning, you know, in front of your house or whatever, or you know, you live there, that's your home. You might not own it, whatever, you cleaning it, right? Yeah. Because my mother cleaned the hallway, because we played in the hallway, you know, made sure the elevator was smelling fresh, you automatically would not even litter. Oh, that's Miss Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do that to Miss Brown. You know what I'm saying? So that's that rippling domino effect, you know, where it starts one floor at a time. So if you got a project that is 20 floors and you got a Miss Brown on every floor, eventually somebody, even an adult, hey Miss Brown, they want to throw it, but they're not gonna do it
because your respect is up,
right?
And they're gonna like, nah, let me mad,
right? Because we do, I want to say about my people, and I love my people, that we are compassionate individuals. You know, we are a lost soul in many assets and many avenues. We come together when we need to, going back to the Montgomery Ball, but we also do respect. We do respect. I've stopped kids doing from what they doing. For me, a straight bullet is not in my destiny. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. That's not part of my death. And I see something, I say something. And I'm like, young man, why you do that? You know, it's all about how you approach. And I've been in situations where I would even confront the child with the mother and make it a teachable moment. It's all about how you make it happen.
Right, how you say it.
It's how you say it.
Approach the situation.
We are a culture that are like, yeah, you right. You know, we are a compassionate culture. We are a culture that conforms and that gives, and that we just need that directive. And we haven't had it. We don't have a leader.
Yeah, we haven't had a real leader since what, Malcolm? You know, especially someone like people famous or infamous, you know what I'm saying? Because they chopped those down quick.
We
spoke about it in the last episode, like, and he went online, he streamed Casanet, the kid Casanet. We said it here first. We was like, he didn't realize how much influence and power he truly has at his age. He's 22. He don't know that he could control 10,000 people.
And I don't blame
him
in the neighborhood.
And I don't blame him for what happened. I just think that he didn't have the right people to say,
yeah, he just didn't construct it right. Yeah.
He didn't know.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, they're going to make an example out of him. He's not going to do any jail time, but he's definitely going to pay some fines.
But he got to pay some city fines now. Right. That's money.
You know, it's incite a riot or whatever.
He just, Second Street,
if I was on his team, I would have been like, yo, nigga, you don't want to do that. Let's do it differently. You know, so he didn't have the right support. But we do, like you said, he had no idea
of his power, his influence. And he said it. He said it. On his live stream, he said,
and because of what happened, I follow him because he has a platform and he had no idea of.
It's like hitting, a good kid.
It's like hitting a lottery. He got millions of dollars or millions of followers, and he didn't know what to do.
He's a good kid.
I believe,
he's young and he needs to go through this stuff. Watch him in 10 years.
Oh, he gonna
watch him in 10 years.
Oh,
you gonna be like,
Damn.
He's Nick Cannon, Kevin Hart, everything combined.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you have that influence and that power, and he's genuine. He's not negative.
Yeah.
So he said it. He said, yo, I'm disappointed in y'all on his stream. He said, I'm disappointed in y'all. I wanted to really show New York, you know what I'm saying, that I could do this, but. Now I know I just got to go about it in a certain way. You know what I'm saying? So
differently.
Shout out to Casanet, man. You know what I mean?
Right.
And all this stuff that we've been talking about on this podcast, this all been freestyle. It's all been, is no topic based, but it all falls to what you do professionally. You know what I mean? Because everything, like I keep saying, I'm starting to go to therapy now, and it's not something that I'm force feeding to my audience, but I'm just saying it because I want to be cautious of it myself. I don't want to slip into what I used to do. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure that I'm finding different avenues and different ways of getting my frustration or my anger or whatever out. You know what I mean? But everything has to do with your mental. So.
But, you know, going back to the stigma of mental illness and therapy, and again, COVID broke a lot of those stigmas. Think of it like you're just doing pre-maintenance.
Yeah.
You already know what your issues may be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to put a diagnosis next to it so you can get a check and or be able to have some solace or whatever, knock yourself the fuck out. But the fact that these are the things that happen to me and I don't want to do these things, how can I redirect that energy? Therapy is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
All insurances, all of them, even Medicaid, offers therapy. Where you can have,
that's how I'm in that.
Right, as you can have a therapy session. It's the stigma. If you can go and talk out your frustration, again, I had this conversation with one of my fellow colleagues that was just diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and I told him, I was like, you got to mourn the person that society thought you needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, oh, I'm not this, I'm not that, and what I'm gonna do this and whatever. And those, I'm not minimizing those feelings. It's just mourning the person. You're grappling with who you are. But once you get to a place where you can say, this is who I am, there's nothing wrong with therapy. We're doing it right now.
Yeah.
Those people that are watching right now, we're doing it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just not billing for it.
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to say, you got your podcast, you got your talk shows or whatever, to say, hey, I'm not the only one that's going through that. That's what makes a difference.
Yeah.
Because we as individuals think, we're the only ones that are going through it, because right. I'm not saying that you got to put your business on the street or whatever, but you know, to have a person that you can go to where you can have solace and comfort, it's very important.
Yeah,
it's different. That's
very important. And you taking that first step, I'm not even going to tell you how I'm proud of you or whatever, but you know, yes, it means a lot that you're having a conversation with a therapist to say, let's look at the root of this. You know, it's based on trauma, environment, or whatever. Mm. How did you get that? So you gotta unpack or unpeel those layers
gotta get
and get to the root. And then once we get to the root, which is hard because you got to revisit those stuff.
Yeah.
Once you get to the root, it's like, okay, what can I do? Because it's not going to go away. The root is not going to go away because that's part of your foundation. But what can we do to re-channel that energy?
Yeah, refine
so
that.
So me, you saw me come to the door. My music is in my ear. Yeah. I got a playlist on my iTunes that's called Fucking Favorites. It's called Fucking Favorites.
Yeah, mine's called My Shit.
It's called your shit?
My shit.
I got to put it in my ear. Because when I'm about to break down, I got to go.
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
And if that will keep you from punching a hole in the wall, let alone punching a person, and as a person of color, you, an assault charge is worse than a drug charge.
Hell yeah.
Right? Fun. And if you can channel your energy, I'm so
we
proud
just
of
seen
you.
It. Tory,
so proud of you.
Tory Lanez getting 10 years.
Yeah. Yo!
Not for a body, not for a murder, not for taking somebody's life.
Big toe.
For shooting somebody in the foot. That bow, boy bow. Getting 10 years, I said.
Damn!
He did.
He got that shine sentence. For those that remember Shine, I was like, who fucking 10 years? Like, what? He didn't even kill anybody. Supposedly there was some other shit that was behind that because he was fighting. I don't know. I had to ask my daughter today.
I think the judge just didn't take kindly to how he was moving while the trial and everything was happening. He was just still talking crazy.
And then he's an expat. He's from Canada.
And you're from Canada?
Yeah, he's
come
an expat.
You can't be getting in trouble.
You're gonna slay you.
He's gonna do those 10 years. He's going to do those 10 years, and then as soon as he's done, they're going to expedite.
Right back, yeah. Damn, that's a fart.
Yeah.
You see, that's just the latest one. There's so many of these artists like that that's getting in trouble with the law, and they not being lenient on y'all. They giving y'all the time. Y'all need to chill, man. For real.
You know, with regards to, you know, I'm 54, and I'm part of that golden era with the hip-hop. I remember everything that was going on. So, you know, it was a culture of something that was coming.
Yo, Melly Mel was super nice, right?
Yeah.
Top 50 MC, right? Yeah. We was having
a
top 50 argument.
Yes.
All right, don't get mad at me, right?
What?
No, don't get mad at me. I'm going to keep it real. I was getting mad at him for some of the choices that he picked, right? So it's like Melly Mel.
All
right, this
we talking about DJs or
no? Hard? Just overall.
Oh shit! All right.
So it was like
okay.
Pick Melly Mel, which it ain't really like an issue, but it's like, bro, like you one of the first dudes. Like we can't still keep you putting you in the list when we didn't hear from you in 40 years.
You know why I understand that argument? I saw somebody say, yo, this is why baseball is so boring to this generation. Because you keep telling them that Babe Ruth is the greatest baseball player of all time.
Or
and so it's what you're saying.
It's
what you're saying. Right, like, we can't continue to... You can't say that this Japanese dude that's 6'5", 220 pounds, his position is a pitcher, right? So he could throw the ball 100 miles an hour and strike you out, right? And he could go to the plate and hit home runs. He hit 40 home runs in a year, right?
Right now, I don't know.
So you can't say he's not the best baseball player.
I have no idea who you're talking about, which would tell you how the media doesn't perpetuate what you need to know.
That evolution happens.
Yeah.
So when people be like, yo, I think like with my, like me, I'm 34, right? I think with my eyes, LeBron is the greatest basketball player I ever seen.
That's your generation.
Somebody that's your age will be like, yo, Jordan.
We don't say Jordan.
Shout to Kobe.
Right.
But Kobe.
You're not acknowledging that the game has evolved. LeBron is Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, combined type shit, right? But I'm never going to disrespect Jordan. But sometimes you got to acknowledge what is coming too.
So when they say the greatest of this time, it resonates with the current events.
Yeah. But then when you put those two words on after greatest of all time, now you got to just evaluate as best as you can from what you know from everything.
So I'm going to start it and I'm going to put it into lyricists. My top. I don't have this particular order.
Listen. Okay, give us five.
These are the people that will. I'm gonna sit back and take some totes and vibe with that shit.
Oh, so we rolling up after this episode? Yeah, I know what's going on.
So Okay.
Don't.
Karis won. That group. Well, he's a single. Karis
the teacher.
Won.
We're not mad at
he
him.
He was with Boogie Down Productions.
The teacher.
And big up to D Nice, because that's a and yo, his producing skills do not get credit.
My name is D Nice.
He is an excellent producer. Yeah. So Boogie Down Production. Eric B and Rakim. Mm. Tupac.
Okay.
Poor Righteous Teachers.
Okay.
And Brand Nubians.
Brand Nubians.
Those are the male fit. The male group.
I can't get mad at Brand Nubians.
Yeah, that they will. I will stop.
That's Lil Jamal and them, right?
That yeah. I will stop in my tracks for them.
Okay.
You know, now the ones that are publicized, those are the ones that got the media and kind of you
push.
Know. If I, now that was that group. That's that underground. Let's call them my underground group.
Yeah.
Now the media group, LL,
the GOAT.
Biggie, of course.
Yo, I'm not. All right, before you go on,
Nas,
right?
Of course.
Shout out to Nas.
Nas, of course. I'm not putting them in any order.
No. You go.
This sound like her top 10 list. Though.
Yeah. The ones that got the media yeah. play. Females, don't sleep on. don't sleep on MC Light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to join.
You know, don't sleep on her. Don't sleep on. Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And her.
You
and
I.
Queen
T-Bow.
Day.
MC Light. Bitch.
I love the raunchiness of Lil' Kim.
Okay.
Facts.
Rod Digger. A lot of she people try to sleep
yeah.
on Rod Digger.
Yeah, they don't sleep know about Rod Digger. You know, she was one of those underground poor righteous. Those are the ones that make me.
Yeah.
I listen to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I listen to everybody, but those are the ones that are on my playlist.
Yeah. So I just because since it's
and he picked
50
those people
years,
too.
Since it's 50 years of hip hop. We decided to just give our top 50 lists of all time. So uh-oh. I just wrote a list. This is just the basis so we can start arguing.
That's not the official. That's
yeah, just so
is
we can start
a,
arguing.
Is it in this order?
That's just, so,
look,
that's
this
just
is the
how
order,
I wrote it.
And then he has a couple of.
Okay.
Options. I just got.
My list is in no bad, too.
Yeah, just okay. so we could start
oh,
arguing.
Go ahead.
Just so we could start arguing. You know what I mean? So
when I seen it, I seen Melly Mel was like, come on, bro. Melly Mel, bro. And not the OD on Melly Mel, because he's yeah. one of the GOATs. It's just like how my cousin say, like, bro, Biggie can't be in the top 20. Like, Biggie's not in my top 5 no more, right? And I look at him like, bro, I don't know. Biggie's still my number one.
So I'm sorry. Let me say something about Melly Mel.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely has homage to, you know, be a part of this list.
Mm-hmm. No. Right.
But for me.
Go ahead.
I didn't see any relevance. So the people that I name could sit down right now and spit like current events.
Mm-hmm.
That do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that Melly Mel hasn't, but we're still stuck in the 80s yeah, with him. Yeah. He mm-hmm. was awesome then. And, you know, great behind the scenes and producer, but if you had to hit the ground running and spit something right now,
yeah. not it.
And he can't because he just recently dropped the diss track to
Lion.
Ja Rule?
He just dropped a diss track to somebody.
Melly Mel?
Yeah, and he
I'm watching that. My bad for talking shit.
J. Cole.
I said it
yeah.
yesterday too though, right? He's the foundation. Yeah. Like, you have to fake kind of say his name. Even though I was hating,
take him out. Yeah. We
you
could
still
take him
got
out.
Respect
yeah,
for
we could
there.
Take him out because I don't even got Kool Moe Dee on my list.
Oh, yeah.
But that's only because I put
yes.
Kool G Rap
yeah.
on my list.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Kool G
so
Rap.
So it's like, you got to just, it's just
that's
for
what
me.
I'm saying.
Gotta
try
you
to
see
work
where
it
I got
KRS.
KRS-One is in my top 5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's in the 10. He's definitely in the 10.
He's in my top 5, and I'm not mistaken.
No.
Ice Cube.
I heard Payback's number 7.
Now listen,
that's why I'm getting
Ice Cube
like a goddamn stepchild. Fuck a Paul, cause I ain't him.
Yeah. Wow.
That's my favorite by Ice Cube.
If, for me, my personal top 5 is Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Snoop. Big.
For the West Coast.
Jay.
Mm-hmm.
And this last name, you might not know his name, but it's just my personal favorite. His name is Abso.
Okay. And I respect that because that's in. That. Generation that you're growing yeah. up in. I
and that time
that.
When that time that I was telling
to.
You about before I went to college,
uh-huh.
he was my playlist in my ear. Abso. So it's ooh. Like Abso. He was my playlist in my ear. So it's like I respect his shit. But You know, you got the DMXs of the world. You got everybody, man. Like, it's so many names. So we're going to try to refine that list and get the names that need to be on.
To work for everybody.
Yeah, so everybody could have their names.
Because I ain't going to lie. I feel like some of the people
we about to get out of
that
here,
we don't talk about should be mentioned. But it's a lot to, like, are you doing it for their impact? Are you doing it just because of the lines they said? Yes. Are you doing it because of their style? It's a lot of things that, like,
so it,
you could kind of kick certain people out, yeah, but then you could kind of keep people. Because right, you could so keep
Mel. For me, the criteria is body of work.
Good
like
work.
Albums, mixtapes, shit
tapes,
like that.
Yeah.
Rap freestyles. Ability, lyricism,
your flows,
storytelling, flow, cadence, impact, and longevity. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
Because like she said, LL Cool J was just on Sway in the Morning with The Roots, and he just spit a freestyle, and it's impeccable.
He got a lot of years of work, though, too. That's the thing, too.
And you got to have at least
wait,
two
you know
albums.
Who I didn't see on that list?
Don't
and again, we're not acknowledging... Oh, fucking Lauren is
I just had to throw it in there.
What?
Get
out
of
here after this.
Lauren is... I didn't see Lupe Fiasco. Is Lupe on that shit?
Shout out to Lupe. Shout out to Kid Cudi.
But I didn't even put Drake in my list.
Right.
Either,
and what made me think of Lupe was Mos Def. Because in that same, they kind of.
Mos Def, Talib.
Yeah,
I met him in person too.
And as an actor, he's excellent.
I met him in person too.
Excellent.
I met him on.
Excellent.
But
excellent.
We're about to close the episode out. Would you like to give.
Oh, we gotta go?
Would you like to give the audience any. That you
your social
like
medias, good information, bad information.
Give them a quote.
Don't tattoo though.
Oh, my tattoo is this will be our next thing, and we'll close with. So my tattoo is it didn't intend to be a sleeve. When I turned 50, I'm very eclectic, and I came from an era where you couldn't do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
My first tattoo, I was 18, and it's right here, still here. And I said when I turned 50, I always studied Egyptology. I love the colors and the culture. And I said, I'm going to get my art on my forearm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just added to it. So this sleeve is dedicated to Kemetism.
Okay.
So Egypt was called Kemet before the Greek colonized it.
Mm-hmm.
I named my granddaughter. Her name is Kemet. And so, you know, you see the Eye of Horus. Right.
Shout out to Prince.
Right.
You see, Drizzy.
Right.
She messed with you, Drizzy.
Right. You see, Drake's
OVO.
Owl.
OVO.
You see Drake's
game.
Owl. But all of those
official
stem
too.
From the Egyptian culture.
Let me see your owl one more time.
Right. That's Drake.
Nah, your owl's official though.
So,
your owls and your visas together.
Look. Yes. Yeah.
Because this means rebirth.
It's many meanings.
I took it for
things.
That one. Like, and I got this one.
If I had to close.
Infinity.
Oh, infinity. If I had to close and say one thing as I close my eyes and I, you know, had one last thing to say. I want to say that I want to ask, especially our culture, you know, I'm 54, he's 34. We're of different genres, and that's fine. But we're walking around with $1,000 phones in our hand.
Mm-hmm.
Just do the research. Mm-hmm. Wake up. We're in a year of we're in the era of Aquarius, and just do the research. Challenge an individual. Don't believe everything as what has been depicted out there for you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, just because of what I've learned, of knowledge. Not because I want to show you what I cooked for my husband on Thanksgiving and fucking stroking the box with macaroni cheese and shit like that. That's not what I use that platform for. Yeah. I don't post a lot. I'm more of a follower to, oh shit. Like on Sundays, I spend all my days looking at YouTube videos and learning about self and our culture. And I want our people to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not knocking anybody's culture, anybody's religion.
Yeah.
But if something comes across your plate, don't dismiss it. Troubleshoot it.
Yeah.
And just look. That's all I want. It's for you to...
Use this what it was intended
you, right,
for. This
right.
is a computer in your hands.
Exactly. $1,000.
It's not just the phone anymore.
It's not phone calls.
It's a computer in your hands. Yeah,
that is.
So I don't even use my phone for a phone. I wish a nigga would call me. Like, text me. Like, I don't call me. I ain't got time. You got to text me.
I don't use my phone so much that I still pay for minutes.
No, you don't.
Nah, I'm just playing.
Oh, okay.
So
remember, minutes were free after 7 and after 7 and free on the weekends.
I used to take
after
my mom's Sprint, the skinny joint. Remember them skinny razor joints?
Yeah, I remember those. I had a pink one, Dipset.
No, you didn't say razor.
I used to be like, let me get that after 9 o'clock. So for Dawn Cole, for Spliff, for Choon Choon, for
Thank
Nicole.
You gotta come
y'all
back.
Y'all know what we're about
definitely
to do.
Coming back.
You gotta
Choon
see you
and
Choon Choon
soon. You know, yeah, I know you gotta
Choon
sit with
Choon
Choon.
Crazy.
Be, you know what I'm saying? So
shout out to Choon Choon, Bob Sauce,
Gang
Gang.
Shout out to everybody out there.
Dawn Cole, Noodle Cole. We miss y'all.
All that, you know what I'm saying?
Gang.
And you know we fuck with y'all, man. We out.
Yo, I got pictures for the low. Shout out to Outside Eats. And it's another show, but I love y'all. Bye. We out. Bye.